Broadcasting live from Hillsdale, Michigan, this is the Steve Gruber Show. This is Friday, February 22nd, 2019. Here are three big things you need to know. Three, talked about it yesterday. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan now accusing the RNC of taking unprecedented steps to shield President Trump from primary challengers like, you know, Larry Hogan. Hogan being courted by some Republicans seeking an alternative to Trump. He told Politico he was disgusted by RNC efforts to close ranks around Trump, but it shouldn't be a surprise. It's what happens with an incumbent president with a track record of economic success. Hogan, though, appears to be closer to getting in the race. That's just a bad idea. Two, get ready for a bomb cyclone. Powerful low-pressure system moving through Michigan this weekend. That could mean 50-mile-per-hour winds. Tie down those lawn chairs if they're still out. Be prepared for power outages across the Lower Peninsula. And on top, Empire actor Jussie Smollett plotted an attack to make himself look like the victim of a brutal racial homophobic crime. That's officially what prosecutors say now. He scouted out the exact location. He paid the two brothers to stage the hoax, offered specific instructions on how he should be beaten, gave them money to buy supplies. That's all according to prosecutors. This is one crime so poorly planned, only an actor would think it might work. That's where we start on this Friday morning. Thanks for being along for the ride here on the Steve Gruber Show. Remember, SteveGruber.com, of course, at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter. You can find me, Scott Bertram, on Twitter, coincidentally enough, at Scott Bertram, S-C-O-T-B-E-R-T-R-A-M, and willing and able to interact through the morning, and, you know, even when I'm not hosting, if that's, in fact, what you'd like to do. If you don't know who I am, well, I'm the general manager, student radio station here at Hillsdale College in beautiful Hillsdale, Michigan. And I also teach journalism here at the school. Also host a podcast for National Review called Political Beats. We talk music with people in and around the political world. Pretty neat stuff. Radiohead recently, Pavement recently. ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, also recently featured on the show. Find that at all the usual places, iTunes, Google Play, nationalreview.com. And I'll tell you more about a new podcast, new venture, new show that we've just started here in conjunction with the college called the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. It's new every Friday. Today is Friday, so I'll give you more details on that later, but I invite you to check it out, the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, perhaps on this station you're listening to right now over the weekend. And if not, also available in podcast form. More on that a bit later. Hey, who's on today's show? Well, me. What else do you need? All right, we got more. Seton Motley coming up at hour number one. Also, Christian Schneider, who's got a brand new book. It's a really neat, really neat premise. 1916, The Blog. It's a book of humor. Hour two, Dan Subotnick, who has a new book, too, called Toxic Diversity, Race, Gender, and Law Talk in America. Steve Doolin, hour two. Then hour three, Philip Wegman from the Washington Examiner will tell us about one of the lesser-known candidates who have thrown their hat in the ring for president, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Patrick Murphy, former congressman from Florida, will join us to talk about, well, why Democrats usually do poorly in Florida, at least recently, and lose it in presidential elections and Senate races and gubernatorial elections. We'll talk with Patrick Murphy about all of that. Jussie Smollett, though. This time yesterday was under arrest, was in custody of the Chicago Police Department. A bond hearing later in the day yesterday. He's now free. It was $100,000 bond, so $10,000 is what they had to post. They took care of that. And he is now free, of course, pending his trial. I guess he's back on the set of the show as well, Empire. Everyone said they were standing by him and believed him, and he wouldn't lose his part on the show, and they weren't writing him out, and they might want to think about that. We have actually some audio to play in a little bit, and a just incoherent column. Now, I'm originally from the Chicago area, and so every day I do read the Detroit paper, the Free Press, and I still read the Chicago Tribune front to back too, and they have a columnist who has written something just utterly incoherent, and I'll read it to you later. Her name is Darlene Glanton, and the title will give you an idea of where the piece goes. It's called "Sorry, Bigots, But I'm Not Sorry for Once Trusting Jussie Smollett." And yes, this was written literally yesterday, so after all of this has happened. I need to read some of that to you later. And also a fantastic piece by Kyle Smith at National Review answering the question you might have heard over and over the past 2 days. Why would Jesse Smollett do this? Why would he do this? It's a pretty obvious answer, in addition to the one the Chicago police gave us, which is he was looking to get more money, looking to get paid, even though reports yesterday say he was being paid. The initial reports were $65,000 an episode. And then later in the day, I think the AP had a report that it was more than $100,000 an episode. He was making somewhere around, you know, $1.5, $2 million a year, plus endorsements, plus his music career. And that was not enough. And that's why, that's the core reason he did this. But Kyle Smith answers the deeper question about why he thought it would work. And we'll talk about that a bit later. I don't know if I don't want to be too heavy Jesse Smollett today, but for the amount of time we were bashed over the head and told, again, this is a reflection of Trump's America. This is how awful all of you are out there, that this could happen. Jesse Smollett is being oppressed and beaten and being yelled, you know, racial epithets at. This is all your fault, Trump supporters. I don't think it's inappropriate to take a step back and say, well, that's not the way this went down at all. And perhaps we should look at why it happened and how we should react in the future. When there is a story like this with so many red flags being thrown up from day one. Story in the Free Press, I think it's an AP, or it's a USA Today story. Jesse Smollett plotted an attack to make himself look like the victim of this brutal, racial, homophobic crime, scouting out the exact location, offered specific instructions on how he wanted to be beaten, gave them money to buy supplies, all those revelations coming yesterday in his first court appearance. Here's the outline of the incident. Three men met on January 25th and planned the attack during a conversation in the actor's car. The attack planned for 10 p.m. on January 28th, but had to be pushed back a few hours because the actor's flight from New York was delayed. And I don't know if you saw this, but there's evidence that Smollett was trying to communicate with these brothers via Instagram that he was going to be late for his beating. If you look at his Instagram from that night, he mentions two or three times, like, hey, I'm still in New York. Got a flight delay. A little bit later, hey, guess who's still on the tarmac? So it's as if he was trying to communicate to his alleged, well, not his alleged, to his cohorts that, hey, I'm late. Got to push back the beating, okay? Smollett asked the older brother to, quote, place a rope around his neck, pour gasoline on him, and yell, this is MAGA country. Or MAGA. I've heard that both ways, right? I've always said MAGA. I don't know if there's a preferred Steve Gruber show nomenclature, but he also initially directed the brothers to pour gasoline on him during the attack, but later suggested they use bleach. Don't know, you know, specifically why. They met again January 27th. The actor picked the man up from their home on the city's north side, drove them to the area near his apartment where he wanted them to stage the attack. A witness, an employee of nearby NBC News, saw it all go down. The actor instructed the brothers not to bring their cell phones with them. That day he also wrote, and this is the smart part, man, you can't get anything past these people. He wrote a check for $3,500 backdated to January 23rd and gave him $100 to buy a ski mask and red hats and other supplies to be used. Man, they've got the canceled check. I believe they have the canceled check. So things don't look good. We will have much more audio and another commentary later on the Smollett case. Whew. Plus all the usual fun. I'm the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce is on the job every day fighting to deliver powerful business advocacy and political action vital to the success of Michigan businesses. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce is working to make Michigan the best state in the country to live, work, raise a family, or build a business by strengthening communities and improving our quality of life. We work to improve workforce readiness and build the entrepreneurial spirit that has powered and defined Michigan for decades. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, on the job every day, fighting for Michigan's future. MIChamber.com.
It's hiring season in the construction industry, and have they got a job for you? Find out at MichiganConstruction.com. Major companies are looking to fill positions all over Michigan, so when the weather breaks, they can get to work, and so can you. If you're looking for a great place to hang your hard hat, check out MichiganConstruction.com. Before the snow melts, you can have great pay, health care, benefits, and a future, because it just might be a career. Go to MichiganConstruction.com. That's MichiganConstruction.com, because Michigan is hiring.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived in the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with. We were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Good